AOM 2020. That stands for Annual Orthopedic Meeting of the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. Their big, big conference. April 3rd and 4th in 2020 in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Mall of America. Head, spine, and shoulder disorders. Integration over isolation is the topic this year. What will you learn? Why should you go? Highlighting the orthopedic and vestibular factors affecting patients with concussion injuries, interconnection of head and neck complex, relationship between the neck and shoulder, lab breakouts focused on skill acquisition. That's what you're going to get. Ariel Giordano, Rob Landell, Joseph Gages, Paula Ludwig, and Lieutenant Colonel James T. Mills are your featured speakers. Check out more at orthopt.org.
Never give up looking for what makes you the most passionate when you're treating your patients. Never give up developing that and trusting your instinct. Trust your gut and follow that, and don't second guess yourself. It's not worth it. And have more fun with your patients.
Looking forward to CSM? I always like to say it's the big dance in physical therapy. More than 17,000 of your colleagues going to be in Denver this year in early February. We've had today's guest on the show before talking about some of the research that she does in slips and trips, working with balance. She instructs at Nazareth College. She's a professor there, but she teaches continuing education courses in all different types of neuro, geriatric, rehabilitation, all different types of subjects. We'll get into a wide range today. Find out what you can learn from her three poster sessions. We go through them really, really quickly, kind of like the appetizer, the soup, and the salad. And then we get to her main course. You like the analogy? We get to the main course of her two-hour presentation, and she gets to talk about how much video that she's using this year. I love when I go somewhere and I see a presentation and they're using a lot of examples, and we're a very visual profession. So she's got video that she took 18 hours worth of video and broke it down so you can walk out of her talk at CSM with tactical results, things that you can do. This is JJ Mauder-Tinney, her big presentation at CSM this year, Intervention Designed to Optimally Progress Perturbation-Based Balance Training, Translating Research into Clinical Practice. Check the show notes of this episode for links to her poster presentations and presentation, and we'll see you at CSM this year. Episode is always brought to you by our friends at Owens Recovery Science. They're a single source for PTs looking to add personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, BFR, into their clinical practice and the equipment that you need to do it properly and effectively. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com or with their new podcast on iTunes, Owens Recovery Science.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Looking forward to the big dance. I'm actually trying to be super proactive. I'm actually like starting to like pack right now, like get my stuff together. Usually I'm the night before going, what do I need again? And then I get there and I'm like, I gotta go to Walmart. It's usually me.
It's pretty early, man.
It is. But they
You're
got
very
me
excited.
They got me stacked up. It's in Denver, you know. So you gotta on top of like, you know, conference attire, you gotta legitimately pack warm.
Yeah. Well, so I'm from Colorado, right?
Oh.
So my friends were like, so what do we wear? And I was like, well, it could be 60,
yeah,
or it could be a blizzard.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Really hard to tell in Colorado, but it's usually sunny. So.
Yeah. Well, legitimately, no matter where you go, because we've done major conferences in Austin, Texas, or Orlando in June, and that's hot. But you're indoors all most of the day, so like, you know, you could be in Orlando in June, 100% humidity, 95 degrees, but you need a sweater because the conference center has the air conditioner on you know, 62 degrees.
Yep, absolutely.
So, you got to run the gamut. So, hey, you're going to be busy at CSM this year. I like that.
A little bit. I mean, there are people busier, but yeah.
Yeah.
You can stay busy.
All right. Well, I mean, I think three posters and a two-hour presentation is pretty good.
yeah, no, I'm happy.
Let's use it like appetizer first, you know, appetizer, salad, soup, and then main course, right? Well, so we'll do the posters first. You like that? I just came up with that on the fly.
That was sweet.
So appetizer, three posters. Let's do the first one, effect of single session reactive step training intervention in the geriatric population. That's one of your posters.
Yeah, so this one is back to the research we talked about a long time ago in regards to the slip training. And so we had a feasibility and the intervention piece. And so they accepted the intervention component. And I mean, this is my baby, right? So mm-hmm. This is what we've been working really hard on. We're actually expanding this research to three diagnoses, Parkinson's, stroke, and MS. This semester, we're starting a new project with all those three diagnoses using the protocol that we used in this study. So this was the study that was based off of Pai's work, P-A-I, Pai's work, on, you know, one single session of 24 slip-stir trips decreases risk for falls. And what we looked at is how could you translate that into clinical practice. And so the slip trainer is a product we purchased because it was the only thing we could find that was close, because our treadmills, start stop on the treadmill is another option, but that didn't work for most treadmills. It doesn't really quite work. And we ended up doing 4 2-minute bouts. So they would do, we got them oriented to it, and then they would do 2 minutes of us randomly doing flips or trips without them looking at us when we were going to do that. And then we'd let them rest, and then we'd do another 2 minutes. And then, so by the fourth 2-minute session, we have these amazing videos of how well they react and how you really are able to retrain it. What we are interested in is if, even in that one session, if we could actually make changes in their outcome measures, so their balanced outcome measures. And I just remember the students presented this idea, and a faculty member said, so after this magical session, do you really think there's any outcome measures will change? And I was thinking, probably not. You know what I mean? The likelihood was small, but we actually did see some pretty good changes in the 4-score step test and their 10-meter walk, and then their reactive balance. We did the reactive balance components of the mini best. What we didn't see change was really the ABC scale for the most part when you look at the big picture. So the fear of falling scale, which actually makes a lot of sense because they were really scared. There was a lot of screaming.
Well, because describe that platform that they're standing on. Again, you described it in your first episode. What is it like? Because originally you were trying to initiate the slips and trips with that starting and stopping of a treadmill, like you mentioned. But so what are they standing on again?
So it's a platform that this company made. It just has like two long metal cylinders underneath it. So that rolls on top of the ground, you know, so it's just, you have a handle. And so when you push it forward, they need to step back to be able to maintain their balance. Or if you pull it back, they need to step forward to maintain their balance. And then you could turn people and do side stepping, you know, side crossover. But we just focused on flips and trips, since that's the biggest risk for falls are slips.
So even though they're harnessed too, right? They're harnessed as well.
Yeah. We had to harness.
You're not knocking older adults on the floor.
No. They feel like it is. I mean, it's nervous even as a therapist.
Sure.
You know they're in the harness and you know it'll catch them, but it's like, we're all like jumping, you know, and our goal was to set off the system. Our goal was to trigger a fall, you know? And so those pushes, as they progressed, had to get harder and faster.
You were talking about in your first episode, which people can go back to and listen to because we really got in depth with this. You were saying that you know, some of the older adults, you know, even when they were trying it, they were saying this is easy, and you asked why, and I remember you said, well, because I know when it's coming. So you realized you needed to get trickier. You needed to make sure it surprised them, or else you weren't going to get the effect you were trying to test.
Well, it's interesting because leading into my big talk, you know what I've been finding, experimenting a lot with trying to translate this idea of reactive stepping into clinic, is that, you know, we as in all my neuro patients respond really well. Like, you give any kind of reactive type of intervention and they figure it out really quick, and it turns into an anticipatory. And so the challenge is you have to have lots and lots of challenging ideas, because as soon as they figure it out and it becomes an anticipatory, then you need to make it harder and go a level higher to then make it reactive again. So then, you know, so you're playing this game. And this poster and this first study was kind of really telling for me. I learned so much from it in regards to how people respond and, you know, how much you need. I mean, we averaged more like 80 slips per trip, so way above Pai's work, because we did the 4 2-minute sessions. People were like, oh, I want to buy the slip trainer. And I was like, well, don't just go use it, because people were trying to use it for like 15 minutes. I go, there, you're shot. Like, get on it. Like, your muscles fatigue. You're anticipating. It's scary. I mean, you really work in the muscles. So the 4 2-minute from our protocol standpoint, I think worked extremely well.
That's great. And again, that's effects of a single session reactive step training intervention in geriatric population. That's your poster Thursday, February 13th from 1 to 3 p.m. Up next, utilizing intrinsic motivation and external focus of attention in patient with cerebellar ataxia. Talk about that.
So this study, and one of our students took the lead because she did a phenomenal job, and one of our other faculty members did a phenomenal job with one of our clients in clinic who has cerebellar ataxia. He's a few years post, well, I guess he's up to 8 years now post, and he just had a baby. And so his ataxia is severe. He can walk, but like you know, he's at real risk in regards to carrying the baby. And
right.
So we went and took the optimal theory, the optimizing performance through intrinsic motivation and attention for learning, and really, you know, focused the whole treatment plan utilizing the optimal theory and focusing everything on his ability to work with the baby. So carrying the baby through obstacles and then, you know, picking up the obstacles, carrying the baby in the baby carrier. I don't have kids, so whatever you call it, the baby carrier. And on the side while he's going up and down a curb. And I just remember I walked out of the clinic and they were so excited because, you know, they had the, not a real baby. We had a pediatric baby, one of the peds dolls wrapped in a 20 pound weight in the carrier. And he's holding it with one arm, you know, and a little bit of the other. And he's trying to go up and down this curb and walk over some obstacles. And he's, cause we're like making him obstacles from the house, you know, okay, this is their one toy and this is their dog. And, they were so proud he was doing so well. And I was like, okay, now you need to put a phone in there with the baby crying because he's not just going to be having a quiet baby
right.
while he's doing all these things. And so really trying to incorporate all that, carrying the child, him choosing like what he wanted to do. A lot of the safe transport of the child is what was most motivating to him. Could he carry the baby up and down the stairs to get them upstairs? Could he, you know, and then the navigation of obstacles and cleaning up the obstacles was kind of more of his life focus.
Yeah, it just sounds like you focused on what was going to be most important was safety, but then real life, which is not in a, you know, in a clinic environment, it's stuff's in the floor, there's noise, there's life, there's stairs, there's all those things. And did you say the patient age? Because I think that's kind of important too.
Well, he's 36, but he was 8 years post.
Gotcha.
He had a blastoma removal. But what's interesting is because he's far post, you know, the outcome measures, we looked at the mini best and we did 5 times sit to stand and the SARA for assessing ataxia. And, you know, it's just really important that for people to recognize, and I think that we know this, but like his ataxia scale scores didn't change and we really didn't think they would. But his mini best improved by 6 points in just 10 weeks, you know, which is really more like 8 for the students when they get to interventions. 1 hour a week. And then even with the 1 month follow-up, he improved 2 more points because we got him to a level where he could do all these things and he was doing them consistently. And so his reactive components of the mini best and him having the strength to do those things. So his function improved, even though at the impairment level, you know, his ataxia, the SARA didn't change. And, and that's pretty much exactly what, I mean, it's the same with spasticity, right? The spasticity was the biggest limitation. When you do all in strengthening and functional focus, you'll see improvement in the function and their test, but you won't see a change in their modified Asher scale.
Right.
And so to not let people, I guess my biggest takeaway I want therapists to consider is not only the whole, yes, this has to be very motivating and, you know, focused on the patient, but to not let impairments that we typically think as extremely limiting to a patient and that we can't improve like ataxia and spasticity limit them and make them feel helpless because your treatments will make a functional difference.
Well done.
So
well said.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah. All right. That's poster number 2. And that's utilizing intrinsic motivation and external focus of attention in a patient with cerebellar ataxia. That's Saturday, February 15th, 1 to 3 p.m. with the poster session. Appetizer number 3, changes in critical thinking and problem solving in integrated clinical experiences. Let's talk about that.
So, yeah, I got one in geriatric, one in neuro, and one in education. So
why not round
a little
it
bit
out?
Of variety. Went a little taste of everybody. But this one, we've been wanting to do this forever. And we actually had someone that was out of sequence and we're like, oh, come on, we really want to do this. It's because we have our on-site clinics, which we've talked about before. And, it, you know, like the last poster, the student, they're treating the people for their whole semester and designing everything. And we're really focused on their clinical reasoning, making them fill out clinical reasoning forms, giving them lots of one-on-one feedback that it's really too busy now in the clinics to get that kind of feedback. So we feel strongly that, you know, our clinics make a huge difference in our students' ability to critically think and problem solve. And so, but you know, all of this is always hard because it's how do you measure problem solving and how do you measure critical thinking? So we were able to use our clinical instructors and we used our students and we just measured them pre and post using just the clinical thinking and problem solving skills component of the professional behaviors assessment tool. And so we were just looking for those changes. And really we had from the first semester. So we tested out at the beginning of the first semester neuro clinic. We focused on neuro clinic because that's right in the meat of everything. And before they have any other, or it's, there's no other clinicals. And then we tested them at the beginning of their second semester. And what we found was, you know, there was statistically significant differences between them moving in from beginner, moving up in the intermediate stages, and, you know, for the couple that did, moving up in the entry level, which is not what we expected, because, you know, they aren't entry level yet. But sure, it really did show a good, and it showed a nice strong movement utilizing that with the utilization of our clinics. And so we're going to keep working on that one. I think that we had a really nice start, and we finally figured out when to test them and what tool to test them with, and what is it that we really wanted to know, you know, because we just feel that the productivity standards in the PT clinics, you know, and just the burden on the CIs when they're out on clinical is just so much,
yeah,
that we want to do as much as we can here to make sure they get the one-on-one help they need, that they're at a level that can be supportive, you know, for the physical therapists who are supervising them, but also because we know they just don't have the time to give them all the one-on-one, you know, and some students need more than others, obviously, the one-on-one care they need. So we just want to make sure that we're doing that as optimally as we can here.
That's great. So that one's in education. You've covered geriatrics and neuro. The last poster you were just talking about is February 14th, 1-3, changes in critical thinking and problem solving in ICE integrated clinical experiences. JJ Mattertini, you're also a professor at Nazareth College in upstate New York. Voted most likely to what by your students? What is this?
Be back to class by 8 a.m. on Monday morning.
After?
Well, I mean, this is my full-time job, Nazareth, but on the weekends I travel and I do continuing education courses. And so they're actually making fun of me this week because I was in Palm Springs this weekend and like I flew home the red eye to make sure that I can get back and be in class, you know, for Monday. And then like 2 weeks before that I was in Miami. And so then I got in late, depends on which course I'm teaching, whether it's 1 or 2 days, but they're always, cause I always have an 8 a.m. class that I usually have to teach and it's usually on Monday. And so I'm always like, no matter what I'm teaching, I'm going to make it back. And so, and sometimes I'll have flown a red eye and I'll teach all day and that's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often, but when it does, they just make fun of me. Cause then they're like, where were you this weekend? Oh, you're in Palm Springs. Where were you this weekend? I was in Miami. Oh, you're this like Tunica, Mississippi. And they're like, oh, okay. I was like, hey, Tunica's cool.
Well, some people have a really expensive habit of shopping, or they'll buy, you know, they'll just, you know, have a midlife crisis and buy a sports car. You both teach and take just an ungodly amount of Con Ed courses, but you know what? If you like it, do it.
Yeah. So, you know, these I'm teaching, and I always joke because it's true, and I guess I said this probably before, because it is true. It's so funny. My husband makes me crack up because whenever he drops me off at the airport, he's like, are we getting paid for this one or are we paying for this one? So it's true. And so the last 3 weeks, he's been extremely happy because I got paid for all the last 3 week ones, because he doesn't know about the online one that I joined. That was a lot of money.
Yeah, keep that one quiet.
He doesn't need to know that about that one.
Well, let's see if we can help him out real quick. Talk about the ones that you get to teach, because you actually just launched an online Facebook group that kind of, you know, coincides with a little bit of learning. So talk a little bit about what you get to do as well in terms of education outside the classroom, the traditional classroom.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I typically do is I have a couple different companies. One of them is my own, where I just, you know, a facility contacts me and I say, they want me to come in and do a course for their crew. You know, I have a 2-day course. I think I'm going in a couple weeks to Phoenix to do a 2-day course on spinal cord injury. I've done a 2-day geriatric course. I have 1-day balance course, 1-day motor learning course, 1-day neuro, just general neuro course. I can add labs. I've done 1 day, 1.5, 2 days. I pretty much just tell the facility, and I usually end up going back a couple times. And then I'm just like, well, what do you want this time? You know, and I just pretty much design it like, okay, are we mostly acute? Are we acute patient rehab? Are we outpatient? Do we have a variety? Like, what's your biggest concern? What do you want to focus on? And so, you know, like a lot of times now, most of the time I'm just trying to push them to challenge patients more. So like I was in, I think it was Tennessee, I can't remember now. And they're like, can we bring in a patient? And I said, well, I can't treat them, but the therapist can, and we can, if they are willing to come in. And they did like a little video on it and everything because she was so excited, because we just made a few changes and adjustments to their session and it made a big difference. And that's the part I love. Like, I love the lecturing part, but, you know, because I'm trying to cram in a bunch of stuff to get people excited that there's all these different things you could do and it's a great time to treat neuro. But then I wanted them to have more ability to have follow-up. Like, you try it and it doesn't work because you just learned it in a course where you were crammed in 3 million things. And so you never try it again. And so this online NeuroSpark network, Claire and Aaron, shout out, from the Neuro Collaborative asked me, would you be interested in trying something new? And I was like, I've always said yes. Like, I'm not very good at social media. And they're like, oh no, we'll take care of that part. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really understand what's going on, but I can mentor people. Like, you know, I'm really good at you describing a patient to me and me coming up with an idea for you. And that way I can provide some courses or provide information and then have them come back and go, okay, we tried it, but this didn't work. And I can tell, okay, what did you see? Like, okay, why don't you just this? Or can you try this? Or maybe that's not the primary focus. And so trying to really find other ways, it's just so to translate the knowledge. You know, it's so amazing to me right now, like kind of what you did, you kind of started your own innovative thing. And the social media thing is not my strength, but man, I'm getting addicted because I'm just seeing the potential of all these amazing people, these therapists out here who are working so hard and they're getting frustrated and they're, you know, they're just getting bogged down and they just need an outside person to help. Or you may have someone there who's an expert, but really they don't have time to be a mentor. You know, like, what does a mentor mean? And so I really wanted to try another way, because going out one day and then having people email me all the time and say, hey, I have this patient. And so, you know, like, it's hard for me to keep up. And so if we could structure that and organize it, I think I could help more therapists.
So that's what you're doing with the Facebook group?
Yes. Yeah. So that's what we're trialing a new thing so that they could get CEUs. We're putting together CEUs. So I give different pieces, but then a lot of it will be, and we trialed it where people sent me like three different people sent me videos and cases of their patient. And then I went through with the whole group and said, you know, you could try this or you could try this. And then I have so many videos.
That's what people
like.
Want.
Like, okay.
They want tactical ideas. They want things to try. Theory is great, but they want tactics.
Right. And so I'm hoping, you know, because I like to read all the stuff and then I like to turn it into an actual treatment idea. But then you need that little, they just don't have time to think through it to adjust it. And so I have good success with that. I'm actually quite good at that. So I'm excited at the potential. Who knows where it's going to go? But
that's great.
I was like, my husband's like, why are you doing this? I was like, because it's fun. Yeah. Because I have no idea what's going to happen, but the opportunity to meet some great therapists always occurs. So
that's great.
You know how that goes.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I have no idea where this is going to go, but I have conversations with people and I like it. So bottom line, I'm having some fun and learning some stuff. Where can people go to find out more? Give us like a destination people can check this out.
So Claire and Aaron, they have the neurocollaborative.com. Neurocollaborative.com is their website, and they're on Facebook. And then they have information on there. But what we're trying to start is like a branch of that, NeuroSpark Network.
Cool.
I came up with the name. I was very excited. I'm not usually a title
That's
person,
good.
But I was like,
well, you know,
I want to spark things,
yeah,
spark ideas and spark excitement. And,
you know, I was going to cut you. I was going to cut you off when you said that you're not, you know, you're quoting, you said it, you're not good with social media. And a lot of people look at it as broadcasting, right? I put something out and lots of people like it and share it and they follow me. And that's the reason and measure of success. But it's not. It's exactly what you said. It's the opposite. It's the one-to-one connection. So if you have a really engaged following of 100 people, some people would look at that and go, it's not successful. But it matters how you're measuring success. A really engaged 100 people is way better than a not really engaged 10,000 people. It just is.
Well, I love the way you think.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it's one at a time. But
yes.
I'm hoping it will be helpful to people. That's all I really care about. And the patients that they can impact. Yeah.
Good. Looking forward to it.
The PT Pinecast. We'll be right back.
New Step created the first product of its kind 25 years ago. That was the New Step Recumbent Cross Trainer. Now it's a mainstay in rehab with physical therapists worldwide. New Step now continues its tradition of innovation with the New Step Transit, another innovation in recumbent cross trainers for physical therapists, delivering real-time biofeedback with this piece of equipment, letting you use it in meaningful ways for awareness of physical performance, goals, identifying and correcting deficits or imbalances. Take a test drive or find out more at newstep.com. That's N-U-Step.com. Online at newstep.com.
Let's get back to the show.
Now let's get to the main course, if we're going to keep using this weird analogy that I came up with at the beginning of the show. Main course is your two-hour presentation. And, you know, I want you to talk about that and kind of give people, you know, a kind of a look of what they'll get out of it. Because as we know, CSM is busy, 17, 18,000 people. You've got lot of choices. And this one is intervention designed to optimally progress perturbation-based balance training, translating research into clinical practice. What can people expect here? What can they get out of it when they're done? How are they going to be transformed?
So I couldn't be more proud of this presentation. So Taylor Drake, one of our grads who I've worked with for a couple of years, she's a neurology resident grad at NCS, and I just love to work with her. So I was like, come on, let's put something together. And then from the research, you know, just this reactive balance, I was like, I just wish there were more ideas. And I started, you know, being really in depth in the research. And I wish there's more ideas for how to do this in clinic if you don't have a harness. Like, because, you know, that's what therapists are saying when I'm giving a lecture and I show a video. They're like, but we don't have a harness. Right. So I was like, yeah, I want home care. I want to be able to, you know, if they're acute care, I want to be able to do different levels. And so what we ended up doing was we ended up getting multiple people from her clinic because she works in outpatient and has other contacts. So we had clients that she brought in. We have clients from our clinic. And my husband did all the videoing, and we did about 18 hours of videotaping.
Wow.
Of all Parkinson's disease, stroke, spinal cord injury, and aging adults. A couple of those people I had never even met before. They just wanted to see me, and they had contacts. And I said, hey, if you let me tape you. And so I literally was evaluating them and just winging it and saying, oh, this would be a good one. And so I was doing it all at the same time, but it was a good use of my time. So we did about 18 hours of videoing, and then we did a whole bunch of different treatment ideas. And we edited all those videos and put them into four different cases. So Taylor's presenting Parkinson's disease and incomplete spinal cord injury, and I'm doing the stroke and aging adults. And we'll talk a little bit about the literature course. And then I spend a lot of time with outcome measures, and I have great videos of the reactive test and the lean and release, and just some really great four-square step tests with a couple different diagnoses. So they're all patients with a diagnosis of one of those four. And then the treatment ideas, I mean, some of them I have like four boxes of, not that I'm promoting Amazon, but four boxes of stuff that I just kept looking on the website to say, okay, those are bungees. Those look good. I'll try those. That looks good. I'll try those. And about 50% of it was good and 50% of it didn't work. Oh, there's a frictionless sheet. Let's try it. How could we use that? And we just kept making up ideas based off some of the literature, but tried to make it realistic. And then, oh, let's put a mat against the wall, and then let's have the mat behind them, and then let's have him spin out from his dance move. And then when he falls, which he did, he falls down onto the mat so that he's learning. And then by the third time, he got it. And I was like, that's the video I want right there. That was perfect. And then they learned quickly. So I was like, Daryl, like, that's my husband. You have to video now. Like, start right now, because we need the one where the mess up. You know, and then they start to get it. And then we added challenge, and then we added this idea, and then we started pulling them. And then I used the ABC scale, and I picked six different items from the ABC scale and turned them all that were more reactive in nature and anticipatory. And I turned them all into how I would set up the intervention to address that. So if they score low in certain areas of the ABC scale, you would now have some ideas of how to already set it up, because we experimented, you know, and I want the clinicians to leave with very explicit ideas of, oh, I used the ABC scale. Oh, they scored low on this. Oh, this is how Jay, you know, jimmied it. Like, no pun intended. But set it up, you know, so that it could be successful. And then they'll have to fix it some more based off their patient presentation. But I really want the therapist to feel more confident, to realize you can adjust the environment. Okay, here's the wall, here's this, here's that, you know. Give them more sensory input. Here's, I have gate belts. I have looped belts. I did home care where I put bungees together, and then I put a carabiner around the gate belt. I thought of this one morning. I was very excited. So that whenever they turn, the carabiner goes around the gate belt, so they get resistance in all different directions. Nice. But you could have them in their house coming up, standing up and sitting down from the couch or from the chair. But then when they turn, it pulls them in another direction. So they have to react to that. But you get to guard because your hands are free. So that was all our goal. And I hope, for your long-winded way of answering your main question, what are they going to leave with? Lots and lots of different ideas. Or they have a lot of those ideas already, but just maybe adding a different perspective, or adding just a couple extra ones, or adding a way you could do it at home, or just feeling more confident that what you were doing was awesome. Like, keep going. That is so cool, you know, and some outcome measures, you know, that they could be more specific for them to recognize how limited our patients are in this type of reactive, you know, when it comes to balance. You can walk them on the treadmill all you want, and you can just get that locomotor kind of component, but you also have to, you know, you have to specifically and explicitly treat their balance to be able to really take them up to a level of community.
There it is right there. Yeah. But I like the fact that when I reached out for you to talk about this, you said just that. They're going to walk out there with tactical skills on how to work with these individuals in a in a bunch of different ways, no matter what the patient's level of function is. And you kept there's going to be lots of videos. You're very proud of that because I think people love that. You know, when you're sitting, we've all sat in a conference room, and yeah, slides are great, pictures are good. Man, videos, and you know, look at the Super Bowl. How many times are they going to go to instant replay and draw on the screen and show this? You missed it the first time, and then somebody comes on and starts doing the breakdown, and they start drawing on the screen, and now I feel like an expert. And that's what people want to do. They want to feel like an expert when they leave. They want to get it. And you're going to help them get it.
I hope so. Now you give me an idea. Now I want to be able to do that. Draw on the screen when I'm showing a video. That would be awesome.
I'll give you this, and your husband's going to like it because he's monitoring what you're buying. Have you ever used the app Huddle Technique?
Well, I know my husband has used Huddle for football. Is
yes.
Assuming that's
same. No. Same company. Huddle Technique is a great app. You download it for free. It lets you shoot video, go frame by frame, draw on the screen. It lets you put a goniometer on the screen and measure joint angles. It lets you do side-by-side videos. And it sounds like really complicated, like, oh, I don't know how to do all that. Super easy. I'm going to say you could master this app to do just what you want to do in 5 minutes. It's a fantastic buy.
Oh, my gosh.
Huddle.
Jimmy, you are my favorite today.
And your husband, that is exactly it. It's from the same company who does kind of highlight videos and video analysis breakdowns for college, high school, professional athletes. Same company, but this is like kind of their consumer-facing app, and they kept it free, which is awesome.
Oh, my gosh. And he's going to love that because he was the first one to bring out Huddle, and he just thought it was the greatest thing ever. How can you get better if you can't analyze your video? And so, oh, my gosh, you just made my day.
It's awesome. I just want a small credit when you're using Huddle videos at CSM
next
year. So just be like, Jimmy told me about this app. It's awesome. So there you go.
I'll go, woo, woo, go Jimmy. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very psyched.
The presentation you were just talking about, intervention designed to optimally progress perturbation-based balance training, translating research into clinical practice. Translating research into clinical practice via video is what I'm going to say. Saturday, February 15th, 3 to 5 p.m., and that's with JJ and Taylor Drake, so looking forward to that. And we'll put the links to the posters in the presentation we just talked about in the show notes as well, because you should download the APTA CSM app to help you navigate like what room these things are going to be in. They're constantly changing, so make sure you get updated with that app as well. JJ, are you ready for three questions?
Okay, yeah,
I'll try. Let's do it.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
Sure. If your students are listening to this, they love the fact that I get to make their professor answer questions. That must be like a good turnaround, right? I usually ask questions based on the same three questions over and over again. But since you've been on the show, I'm going to twist it. Three questions brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing, leaders in travel PT. So if you're coming out of PT school, if you're a new grad, if you're seasoned, doesn't matter, and you want to roam around the country, if you want to take a trip, kind of like JJ does every weekend, and then she makes sure she's back to class by 8 a.m. on Monday, you can do it. It's called Travel PT. Find positions in all 50 states and D.C. Don't want to leave the nation's capital out. All different settings, neuro, ortho, outpatient, inpatient, doesn't matter. Short-term assignments, long-term assignments. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's PT, but you get to travel and get paid for it. Check them out online at aureusmedical.com. That's AUREUSmedical.com. Question number one, JJ, if someone like a student or a first-time CSM goer were to come to you and say, what's one thing I have to do at CSM? What's one thing I can't miss by going to the biggest conference in physical therapy?
Gosh, you know, I think that's the hardest part, is it's just so completely
huge.
Overwhelming that I think if it's their first time going, you have to experience a little bit of everything, but not torture yourself thinking you have to do every single thing. Like, you know, make sure you hit the exhibit hall so you can kind of see what that feels like, because it's just always so overwhelming and with some goals. But then just make sure that you look through all the different, not just your area, just like not neurology or just orthopedics, like look through geriatric and look through education. So I guess my biggest recommendation would be to make sure that you just look through all the different sections, but also do something fun.
Yeah.
Because I used to not, and I used to do the 6 a.m. meetings until 10 p.m. And one of my faculty members was like, when we were in San Diego, they're like, we're going to the zoo. And I was like, I don't have time for that. And they're like, we're going to do the zoo in 2 hours. So Andy and Mary Ellen and I, we took a cab there. We did the whole San Diego Zoo in 2 hours, not joking, and came back.
Good.
And it was just so much fun. Like, and it was fun, but I still got all the experience that I wanted out of CSM. So.
Good. No, that's great. Set some goals. Make them realistic and attainable. Realize that you cannot just be on receive mode for 10, 12 hours a day. You can't do it without burning out and being sick for the next week or two. So that's great. That's number one. Number two on three questions, what's something you should not do? You kind of touched on one of those ideas, what you shouldn't do, which is try to do everything or stay in one track. Anything that someone else should avoid, like, you know, if a student's heading out there, something, hey, make sure you don't do this because this was something I did and it wasn't good.
I would just say for students, especially, don't overpack your suitcase going out.
Why?
Because I don't go through the exhibit hall anymore to get stuff. Although this time I might, because my mom loves to get free stuff.
So
she's a lifetime member, so she can go for free. But they'll go through the exhibit hall and they're so excited because they got this bag and then they got this thing and then they got 50 pens,
you know,
and they got all these squeeze balls and they can't bring it home.
Yeah,
and so I'm always like,
smart.
Just pack a little lighter or take a bigger suitcase than you think and make sure you leave some space in there. Cause
smart.
so then you feel really excited when you get stuff and you can, of course, when you're my age, you don't really care that much anymore, but sometimes I get stuff for the students, you know, or for the patients.
I like it.
But that's it.
Third question on three questions. Let's go memory, best CSM memory. It doesn't have to be a presentation, of course. I mean, like the zoo is a good example of a CSM memory of, you know, looking back saying, this is why I come to the biggest dance in physical therapy.
I think that it's seeing people, it's reconnecting with people. I just, you know, my friends in Long Island, I mean, I was the DCE for a while. So like, I have friends from all over that I never get to see anymore since I'm not DCE. And just some great, great neural people that, you know, I may have read their article. And then I'm, like, sitting next to them on the plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So, like, so it's just kind of meeting up with people that you might have worked with before and you haven't seen with forever, students who graduated, PT people you went to school with. I mean, it just take the time to try and connect and see I send emails out, who's going, you know, so that you can try and connect up with people, even if it's just for 10 minutes as you're walking to a thing. I think it's just really important to make those human connections that have brought us to where we are now.
Yeah, we're a people profession, so it's no shock that your answer would be people. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions from Arias Medical Staffing. Again, you are your license lets you move about the country, all settings, all 50 states, positions right now. See what's available, no obligation. I always like to tell people that, like, just going to check it out doesn't mean you're obligated. You're not locked into anything by asking where they have things you might want to do. So check them out, AURUSMedical.com. That is AURUSMedical.com. Last thing we do, as you know, JJ, is the parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. Rock Tape is more than just a tape company. They're a movement company, bringing you not only the world's finest kinesiology tape, but movement courses to help you get your patients moving stronger, longer. Make sure to check out your medical provider pricing right now at rocktape.com/medical. That's rocktape.com/medical to get your hands on Rock Tape, Rock Blades, Rock Pods, and Rock Floss. Again, rocktape.com/medical. That is rocktape.com/medical. So parting shot can be about anything you want. It's your mic drop moment. What's something you'd want to leave the audience with today?
I guess never give up looking for, you know, what makes you the most passionate when you're treating your patients. Never give up developing that and trusting your instinct.
Yeah.
You know, trust your gut and follow that and don't second guess yourself. It's just not worth it. And have more fun with your patients, I think would be what I would say.
I love
it. Many words for a parting shot.
Yeah. CJJ all over CSM this year. Also a professor at Nazareth College. JJ, looking forward to it. Hope we catch up and do something fun in Denver as well. Make sure, you know, I don't know if they have a zoo. They have to have a zoo, right? In Denver somewhere. Do something fun while you're in the Mile High City, and thanks so much for sharing what you're up to at CSM this year.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. I really appreciate it.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
If you're looking for education past your physical therapy degree, look no further than Brooks IHL. That's Brooks Rehabilitation Institute of Higher Learning. You can find out more at brooksihl.org. Continuing education along with residencies and fellowships. Residencies in orthopedics, geriatrics, women's health, neurologic PT, pediatrics, sports, and a fellowship opportunity as well. So look into it if you're looking to expand your knowledge base. brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet. ptpintcast.com. Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.